of all, what does it mean to be here at the Carnegie Summit? I wasn't meant to see this kind of event grow and grow. I know it's been, I know you're one of them in Boston, you're two in Toronto. I wasn't meant to see this keep growing and the summit having you speak this year.
We obviously meant to start in Boston. Mm-hmm. Actual huge snowstorm came across Toronto, so we were not able to get on our flight for the first one. Bernice has been somebody who has helped us with everything from the beginning, and what she's building with the Carnegie Initiative Summit is never been seen ever. And Anthony spoke last year,
yes.
You know, us being in the audience, there's a lot of things to say mm-hmm. about our organization. And I think Shelley Nichols, their new executive director, her sons are in our program. And her daughter is going to university out in Waterloo. And she's like, people need to hear you, Shante, because, you know, right here in Toronto, our network and the work we're doing is specific to this area. And I was happy to be on the panel. I'm community partners with Toronto Maple Leafs, so I work directly with Mark Fraser a lot on everything he does. Rico Phillips is on our advisory board. Brent Dodging Horse, he's, you know, all the work he's doing out there in Western Canada with the Indigenous community. I'm like, I was really just proud to kind of just sit next to them. Amy Walsh, she, you know, her co-founding, you know, the Future Hockey Labs, you know, I was just kind of grateful to be given the opportunity to speak amongst them and, you know, really try to add to what they're already doing as much as possible.
That's amazing. I want to talk equality. I've seen how it's grown and how it's keeping still growing in Ontario. It wasn't meant to give guidance, give a safe space for these kids who are of color, who are playing junior hockey, because for a lot of years, of course, Anthony would know, like, there wasn't much guidance for players of color, for black players. It wasn't meant to see us grow more and more, give these kids a safe space as they're trying to navigate the hockey world and try to progress to college hockey and the NHL eventually.
Well, like, for us, you know, that was our first priority, mm-hmm. is we were seeing kids come up in the grassroots programs. There's a ton of programs across Toronto. You know, the kids are getting involved in them, but we weren't seeing the development and the growth. And being able to support those elite-level players that are going to represent all of us at the highest levels of the game, mm-hmm. there's a ton of them that are falling off for just silly reasons of just not having pathways or enough support, or wasn't able to even keep up on sticks. Their families are remortgaging their house. They don't realize that when they finish minor hockey, there's still costs, there's still barriers.
Yes.
And even if you're a good player, you can fall off for a multitude of reasons. So just creating a safe environment, what I'm finding now with our boys that are playing junior,
mm-hmm.
They need each other. And it's a similar idea of, you know, Anthony, his younger brother, Chris, Wayne Simmons, Devo Smith-Pelly, Joel Ward, and that Scarborough Boys crew that they came up with. They had that strength and confidence amongst each other. They trained together. They hung out together. They ate together. And that's what I'm trying to create for our mentorship program kids is, you know, they need to hear that they're not on an island. You know, there's struggles that you don't realize they're having that they think that it's only them. And, you know, the biggest thing I hear is under food, you know, oh, I can't, you know, handle the food. We have such a connection to our culture and our home that's based around food,
yes.
that even as something as simple as bringing a plate of Cree goat up to an Oshawa game so the Claire could take it back. A mom had brought a pack, Ty Henry, his mom, he's from Montreal. His mom brought him like Montreal bagels. And that kind of stuff, and just those things, they need that because they're just kids,
yeah.
and they need a support system, and they need to know that people are there. You know, Anthony, when he came up in junior hockey, there wasn't anybody there for him, and, you know, he was able to navigate it and figure things out, but he teaches everybody from his failures and not his successes. He wants to show you, you know, what he did wrong, so that you can benefit from those lessons without having to learn them with your own experiences. So it's, you know, it's a tough thing. And now with we figured out elite boys and moving them up the ladder. Now we're actually focused on elite girls, and we have a skate Nathan Phillips Square on Thursday at 4 o'clock, where we're taking a group of 20 to 25 majority BIPOC girls that play at an elite level to showcase their skills with coaches like Angela James and Vicky Sunahara. And then we're taking them to go watch the professional women's do a 3-on-3 at Scotiabank Arena. So creating that environment now in the girls' game as well, not just focusing on the boys.
And what does it mean? You mentioned the 3-on-3 game going to PWHL games. How big is it to have those kind of mentors who, you know, you can bring the kids to and show them, hey, this could be you eventually, or having other players talking to these kids? Because I'm sure there are some kids who didn't realize, you know, I could have a career playing professional hockey in the P-Dub or in the NHL. I wasn't meant to see those kind of players say, you know, hey, we're going to find a way to give back. Because some players, you know, might say, you know, I got my, I need to give back. I wasn't meant to see other players say, you know, I want to help the future of BIPOC kids in hockey among boys and girls.
Well, I think that, yes, there is ones that don't feel that they need it. And that sometimes when you're at a professional level, you're a bit of a silo, like you don't realize what's going around around you.
Yeah.
But you find a lot after retirement, there's a lot more time to reflect and to understand, you know, the path that got you to that point. And then you start to realize that you don't want it to just be you. And you want to see that next young player and them use you as like a springboard to the next level.
Yes.
So for the women, it's important, like a woman like Vicky Sunahara being out there, she's now coaching at U of T's women's team, right? And we've seen Angela James, she's being honored at the CI Summit this year. Like having that representation, because a lot of those girls didn't even have that, they didn't know about it. We have the, you know, the ability to show them people that look like them and what the pathway looks like and see that success. So I think it's really important that they have those mentors, they have those people to look up to, but not just on the player side, like Mark has created with MLSE Launchpad, mentors on the hockey community. What else could I do in hockey besides playing? What else could I be? And that, I think that's important as well.
That's amazing. A lot for Shantae. I know you mentioned Curry going to Crocs. It wasn't mean to have these kids go out and maybe, you know, show your teammates different cultures, because, you know, I'm sure there's some teammates these kids have who've never had, you know, a curry goat, never had a roti, never had jerk chicken. It wasn't mean to, you know, give these other kids, you know, exposure to other cultures, because hockey culture is so diverse in terms of player backgrounds and their backgrounds in many ways.
Well, it's funny, when Anthony was coaching a U16 team a couple years ago, and my daughter had a birthday, and it's very normal that some kids on his team are used to coming over to our house for a barbecue or something like that. And the captain of his team and one of the players that was with him, they came over as they always do. And I said to them, hey, try a plate. And I said, you have to, even if you don't like it, even if it's not for you, you have to sit there and try it, because you have to understand that, you know, the player of color on that side going to your house feels the exact same way. That it's not something they're used to, and they have to eat it without a word. And I'm not forcing it down your throat. I'm saying be respectful and understand that these are just different environments. And, you know, with the, it's, that's why it's so important that, like, our Black Hockey Summit this year is that people understand everyone is welcome in that space. But you, we want you to come so you can immerse yourself fully. Anthony's dad was out there on the barbecue last summer cooking jerk chicken, and there was a lineup of people that just wanted to, a taste of it. And I think Toronto, we do a very good job of, you know, cultural, like, inclusion in other aspects. It just doesn't happen in hockey. And I think we're finding a way to pair the two, to make hockey culture a culture for people of color as well. That yes, you can be the kid with the curry goat on the bus. Yes, you can be the kid with the bannock. You can be all of these things, and it's okay. And, you know, we have a junior team out in Waterloo, and, you know, I have one of our board members is billeting out there, and she has a kid that is South Asian from an Indian family. She has a kid who is biracial from a Jamaican and white family, and she has a kid from Michigan. And they call their house the United Nation House, and they and they embrace it, because even Tanya Korak, who is the billet, she immigrated to this country, and she knew no English. coming from Montenegro, and you know, she understands how it feels. And you know, I would say the food sometimes gets a bit bland to just satisfy all the picky eaters, but you know, just embracing the that everybody else has like a say.
Cool.
So before getting to the hard hitting hockey questions, I gotta ask you.
Yeah.
As a West Indian, as a Jamaican, you only have one meal the rest of your life. Is it either oxtail and rice or ackee and saltfish?
Oh, jeez. Oh man. I mean, I like ackee and saltfish for breakfast. Can I do one for breakfast and one for dinner?
I guess we can compromise.
Throw a little festival, some dumplings in there, I'll be good to go.
All right, there you go. I'll accept that answer. So, Soraya, for yourself, I know after retiring as a player, you've held many hats. You're a broadcaster now for the PWHL. You now have a role with the PWHL. What does it mean to now be in a league's front office, helping diversity and inclusion for women's hockey?
Yeah, it means the world to me. I think I didn't even anticipate still being involved in hockey when I retired. I knew I wanted to be in the broadcasting and analytics space, but I didn't necessarily know I wanted to be in business ops. So, in that sense, I'm super thankful that they gave me the opportunity to do that. But at the same time, I'm realizing my love for the sport again, being on the business side. I said I played for the girls in the past. I didn't necessarily play for myself, and I think it was time for me to step into a new role and open up another door for them and break down more barriers.
Of course. I want them to be a part of this league, because we're seeing the PW, you know, it's been around for a little while, but we're seeing now the fans embracing it in, be it in Toronto, Ottawa, Minnesota. What does it mean to see this league being embraced by so many people around the hockey world?
I mean, it's so cool. I think us as women and professional hockey players, obviously I recently retired, so just seeing it all come together, and we've been working so hard for this for so many years, whether we were in the PWHPA or in the PHF. We were all had the same goal. We wanted one unified league. We just wanted investors to formally invest in us, and I think that that's what we have now. We have the product on the ice, obviously. The hockey's been amazing. It's been physical. It's been skilled. So it's amazing to see it from all angles.
And what does it mean for yourself to be a part of that first broadcast? Because it's no matter what league, it doesn't matter if it's going to be, you know, the PHF, the PWHL. What does it mean to say, you know, you were part of the first ever broadcast when Toronto played New York on New Year's Day?
Yeah, well, it's historic, right? And it's in my hometown. It's in my home city. And I'm so happy that I got to be a part of it. It was my first time live, so everyone was saying that they didn't think I appeared nervous, but I was so nervous beforehand. So in that sense, I was nervous because we were making history, and I knew it was important. And I think it was an amazing day. It was a great game, despite Toronto's loss. But it was amazing to be a part of.
With the PW, you know, I like the fact that the PW is, you know, a lot of hockey leagues, they take the rules and they kind of copy everybody else. I like the fact that the PW is going with the points, 3-2-1 points. I love the jailbreak goal rule as well. What does it mean to see the PW zone say, hey, we're a new league and we're going to try and break some new rules right here?
Yeah, well, I mean, why not? We're getting to start this how we want to start it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the most important piece. We're able to implement things from the start, like the jailbreak rule. Like, I mean, come on, if you score shorthanded on the penalty kill, who wants to go out and block more shots on the PK?
Exactly.
So it's an awesome rule. And the 3-2-1 point system, we saw that a little bit in the PHF, but at the same time, it makes teams want to get that regulation win.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just going to be awesome hockey. We get to choose what we want to do and be innovative and be trailblazers.
Of course. And you're here at the Carnegie Summit. What does it mean to be here at the Carnegie Summit, an event that promotes people from all different backgrounds to have a platform to talk about the game, no matter your race, your background? Because I'm here again.
Yeah, well, I was speaking with Bernice earlier, and honestly, just getting emotional. I think since retiring, I've become a big baby. I think I'm just emotional about everything, and seeing so many different organizations all in one spot, everyone looking and aiming towards that same goal, pulling on the same rope, I think is so important. So it's so inspiring to be in spaces like this, to network and make new friends and make new connections for our organizations and just grow our organizations here. So it's been so inspirational to be here, and obviously seeing Angela James receive the Lifetime Achievement Award. Angela is my GOAT. she's the only person I could have ever looked to. So in that regard, I think it's so amazing to see these historic people and trailblazers be recognized and everyone be able to come into one place and do it.
And what does it mean for yourself now to be a trailblazer? Because, you know, you are a trailblazer, because there's going to be young, you know, young black girls going to look up to you and say, you know, I can be a sorority tinker, be it either playing hockey, be it being a broadcast, or be in a league's front office.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I know that not playing closed that door in terms of them seeing me on the ice, but I realized that I get to open up whole other doors, whether that's broadcasting, analytics, or in the business ops side of things. So we can continue to break down these barriers and continue to trailblaze in everything we do. And it's just, you're going to have to switch. You have to pivot. That's just life. So it's been amazing to see everything come together, and I'm so happy to be a part of everything.